CliffCentral.com. Stevens Mokgalap, you're from Pretoria like me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, where in Pretoria?
So it's a territorial thing.
Where are you from?
Well, my hometown is Winterveld.
Winterveld?
Yeah.
Isn't it even a real town?
It is definitely a real town. It is a real town, Clint.
Okay, how are you, Stevens?
No, I'm cool, and you, buddy?
Let me introduce you to everybody. This is Stevens Mokgalapa. He's an MP and the president of the Africa Liberal Network. Now, this is something that I only learned very recently. I mean, I probably should have been speaking to you a long time ago because I like liberals. I think I'm a liberal. I try to be some of the time, you know. Occasionally, I have to check myself, which I think is what good liberals do because you know that you're probably likely to make mistakes. But what is a liberal? Let's define this and let's help everybody to figure out whether they might be liberals too. And then if they think they're your friend, they might want to carry on listening. If they think you're their enemy, they might want to carry on listening.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Gareth. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to
sure.
be on your show here.
Sure, of course.
And discussing this important concept. Liberalism, it's simple and pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about individual rights. It's about your individual rights, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of sexual orientation, human rights, free market economy, democracy, rule of law, equality before the law. These are the key concepts of what liberalism is about.
Those all sound like things.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, those sound like things no one could possibly have a problem with. So who are the people who are anti-liberals? And what exactly... Well, let's start with that. Who are the people who don't like that stuff?
It's a very interesting question. I was in the US last year in October doing some work for Africa Liberal Network. And every time I would go into a meeting and I would say I'm the president of Africa Liberal Network, people were looking at me strangely. And I was wondering why I thought I'm in a free world. Why are people so, amused by the word liberalism? Up until we get to one meeting when I finally asked, I said, but this is odd, man. I had about 18 meetings and people are looking at me strangely when I talk about that.
Yes.
And someone said, no, in the US, ever since the economic downturn, we don't want to be associated with liberalism, would rather be progressive. I said, okay. So the new word of liberalism in the West is about being progressive.
But isn't that a different thing to liberal?
It is a very different thing. But, when I listened to you, you were talking about American politics. American politics are always interesting, I went to the Democrats' headquarters there and saw what they were doing. And every time I asked them, why couldn't you see this coming for the Americans? And they were showing me Bernie Sanders' videos. They were showing me Hillary Clinton's videos of the campaign and everything. But it is the essence of what liberalism is about. It's about freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's about democracy. And I think if you ask and say, let us bring it back to Africa. Liberalism in Africa started about 25 years ago in Dakar, in Senegal. The former president of Senegal, by the way, Abdoulaye Wade, is the father of liberalism in Africa because he's the guy who carried the baton and say, let us do things differently. Let us have a lean and mean government. Let us have an accountable government. Let us have democracy.
How long did he last with those terrible ideas?
Well, he lasted for two terms. The problems that we had with him was when he wanted to have a third term. And that is when the whole thing's
unraveled.
Yeah. But that is the problem. That's the Achilles of Africa.
But hang on, because the point is there are only really, you could broadly categorize the enemies of liberalism, the things that you said matter at the beginning of this discussion.
Yeah.
And you can always, the nice thing about podcasts, you can rewind.
Sure.
So you can listen again to what Stevens listed as the reasons that he's a liberal and the things that liberals stand for. There are two kinds of broad categorizations of people who don't like liberalism.
Yeah.
First, on the right, you have people who like an authoritarian, sometimes if it goes all the way to the right, fascist or even national socialist plan, where essentially you have a government that tells people what to do,
sure.
tells people how to live. It's all about order.
Yeah.
It's all about hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then you have on the opposite side the ones who tend towards socialism.
Mm.
And those people are collectivists. So they don't believe in individual rights. Sure. They believe in collective rights. So women have these rights. Men have these rights. Workers have these rights. But they're all kind of different. And depending on which group you belong to, you have different rights.
Mm.
So on the left and the right, you have enemies of liberalism.
Mm.
How about how popular this is in Africa? I mean, a lot of people would say it's not a very popular philosophy in Africa because we have a lot of authoritarian regimes.
Sure.
We have a lot of right-leaning regimes, left-leaning regimes. Is it a popular thing being a liberal in Africa?
Of course, Gareth. You know, something that is very much interesting, by the way, we have about 50 political parties from over 35 African countries.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you the length and breadth of where we are. We almost about the 2/3 of the African Union because of its 54 member states. We are 35. And what makes it very much attractive, it is the fatigue of Africans with authoritarianism, with undemocratic government, you know, with socialism in particular. But what it makes it attractive, it is the issue of the free market economy. It is the individual right. Because of African society in general, we are socialistic, you know, and community-based. But the fact that liberalism says you can be who you want to be as an individual, it protects your own human dignity and it protects your own individual rights and freedom. And that's what makes it attractive. And contrary to popular belief, while liberalism is under attack in Europe and elsewhere because of populist movements, here in Africa is giving rise because of we've got the youth population that says we need innovative ways of lifting ourselves out of poverty, unemployment, and underdevelopment. And that is where liberalism come in because of it give you that choice. It give you that free market economy. It give you accountability. It gives you democracy, you know. And that is what the people want. So in Africa, liberalism is on the right. We've got government in Senegal. The current government in Senegal is a member of Africa Liberal Network and Liberal
International.
Very good, okay. Yeah, of Macky Sall. The government in Ivory Coast is the government of President Ouattara, is a member of Africa Liberal Network and Liberal International, and of course, back home here. So we are on the rise.
Who here is a liberal? I mean, if we look at our political spectrum, is Cyril Ramaphosa a liberal?
To some degree, and under one concept of liberalism.
Okay.
He's a free market economy guy.
But he also adheres to a lot of the more left or right leaning parts of what the ANC would probably term as not being very liberal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is why I'm saying that.
Yeah. He's a bit of grey.
He's a little bit grey in terms
of Julius Malema. Is he a liberal?
He's our challenge. He's the populist.
He's our challenge.
You know, he's our challenge as liberals, and not only here in Africa, but everywhere in Europe. If you see the elections in Europe, they can give you a perspective that you know, liberalism. Our sister party in the UK, the Lib Dems, have been wiped out of the political spectrum there.
Yeah.
We are happy in Germany, the FDP have made it back into the Bundestag. You know, in France, Macron is a liberal, you know.
Okay.
So it's getting
there. Are
there
any liberals in South America?
We've got a party in Nicaragua.
Wow, that you really had to dig deep to find them.
Yeah,
huh?
They are a party in Nicaragua who are a liberal and in Venezuela. In fact, three weeks ago...
How are they doing?
Musi and I, we hosted the guys from Venezuela.
Now, is Musi Maimane a liberal?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I mean, we wouldn't be in this party that we are in.
So you're an MP for the DA?
Yes.
But has the DA ever made you choose between your liberal ideals, your liberal principles, and something that the party wants that you might think is illiberal?
You know what, Gareth? I'm one person who, and that is why I'm the president of Africa Liberal Network. I always have a fight when I'm in the big international stage with our sister parties in Europe. We've got two parties in the Netherlands, the VVD and the D66. who are liberal parties. And always when I meet with them, I say, which one of you is liberal? For me, there's no conservative liberalism, neutral liberalism. Mm. Liberalism is liberalism. When it says rule of law, free market economy, it doesn't say mini free market economy or mini rule of law.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So,
but when I
find the distaste of discussing liberalism in different formats. Liberalism
is liberalism. You don't think that there's sometimes a conflict between the DA and the ideas of liberalism? Now, let me give you an example. I remember when Helen Ziller was... she still talks about it. I mean, you know, you just go... If you want to hear someone talk, you just follow Helen Ziller and she'll talk and talk and talk and talk. She talks about the capable state.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that she's almost a little state-centric in that approach, mm-hmm. which isn't a liberal point of view. The liberals want less government, mm-hmm. right? They want it. They want as little government interference in their lives yeah. as possible, and they don't. They don't want an incapable state, mm-hmm. but they want the state to be a minor distraction.
Mm-hmm. A capable state. Let us define what a capable state of. A capable state is a lean and mean and effective state, which is what liberalism is about. Mm-hmm. It's about a capable state that ensures that there is accountability, that the public officials who are appointed or even elected are held accountable. It's about ensuring that there is sufficient public participation and consultation. It's about making sure that basic services are provided and that the state makes enough resources for basic service, provision. That is what it's all about.
So in your mind, there isn't necessarily any conflict.
When you talk about the capable state, of course. Capable state is a capable state.
So we want that.
Yeah.
All right. What about these people who call other people neoliberals? What does that mean?
You know, neoliberalism...
It's like an insult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's they call it neo because of it. It's just saying...
it's new.
New. You know, it's a synonym for new, you know, but it's been put into academic context. And I hope those who are saying new liberalism know what it means, because of, as I say in my initial, point, is that liberalism is liberalism. It's talking about those key fundamental principles. And I think the challenge came in 2000 and in the 2000s when the economic downturn happened and people blamed it on the market liberalization and how it happened in mm-hmm. the US and the UK, where, the markets overstretched their mandate. But that is not the only aspect of liberalism. It is one but a portion of that. You know, we're talking about other fundamental freedoms that are involved in liberalism. So it's demonized because of, what happened in terms of the economic crunch. But liberalism is not only about the economy.
Yeah, and capitalism isn't a religion.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's just like communism.
Yeah. It makes mistakes, it does things right, it does things wrong, but it's by far the best way for someone who has nothing to end up with something.
Simple as that. Because of liberalism says, that is why the focus is on an individual. And you ask me that question about, in Africa, how do we navigate the deep socialist, tendencies and roots that we have? I mean, it's coming from our history as Africans. We seem to be more socialistic.
Well, also because of the influence of the USSR on anti-colonial movements.
Of course, but liberalism gives us that perspective on focusing on an individual, that it's not about the background of where Siakam comes from, but it's about his individual capacity and the opportunities that he can grab.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to you guys. You were talking about the issues of your school fees. You went to a Model C school fees, and he might have been ripped off because of he went to another.
He went to a very expensive school.
A very expensive school. You know, should we have that? Liberalism.
Meanwhile, Nolo. How much, Nolo?
150 a year.
150 a year for Nolo.
Exactly. That under liberalism, you don't have to have that because of you got to have quality public education. Why do people go to private education? It's because of the failure of the public education system.
All right.
Notwithstanding the fact that liberalism encourage also a hybrid mix of private schooling and public schooling. But if our public schools are in order, then you don't need to spend all those monies.
I know you have to catch a flight just now, but
I'm with you. I'm enjoying this.
The African Liberal Network. Yeah. How can can people get involved? Can they join? Can they ask questions? Yeah. Can they participate in events? I mean, what kind of things do you guys do? Do you have meetings?
Sure.
Are you always going to be the president?
isn't it only 4 years and then an election?
Actually, I participated in the crafting of the Constitution of Africa Liberal Network. And yes, when we were crafting it, unlike the Liberal International, which we belong to, Liberal International is the bigger body of all liberals across the world.
All right.
We have limited our terms to 2 terms, you know, so that we put it explicitly there. Because of, we know in Africa we've got this Achilles heel of, you know, trying to extend the term limits. So we've kept it deliberately for that matter, even if we don't have to, just to send the symbolic message.
All right.
But what we do, we are a group of political parties. Okay, I would say here in the SADC region, we are based here, obviously, in South Africa. We've got our head office in Cape Town. We have parties in Malawi. We've got party in Zambia. We've got
so it really is a continental organization.
It's a continental organization from east, west, north, south. We have divided ourselves into 5 regions. North, East, West, South, and Central Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We've got parties everywhere.
Which of those regions is the least liberal, in your opinion?
Oof. That's a good question. I would say where I am, the South.
South.
Because of, you know, the 15 SADC states in SADC, they have a very serious lineage towards liberation movements.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
you've got the ANC here,
ZANU.
You've got ZANU in Zimbabwe, you've got Frelimo in Mozambique, you've got, Angola, you've got Namibia, SWAPO. So their role exists to protect this liberation movement.
Mm-hmm.
And where liberalism is growing at a massive rate, I mean, out of these 50 parties I'm talking about, almost 18, 19 comes from West Africa.
That's where it's growing,
so,
huh?
It's growing massively.
And that's also where the economies are growing.
And that's where the economies are growing. By the way, I wanted to say that if you look at the fastest growing economies in Africa, most are from the liberal countries. Like Senegal,
Kenya. Can someone go tell Pravin Gordhan and Tito Mboweni?
Tanzania,
Are you going to tell Tito and Pravin and those guys? Because they seem to be not so sure.
South Africa is always confused when it comes to ideologies. You know, how can a communist, a socialist, and a capitalist stay in one room and come up with something that makes sense? It's just confusion. So we exist. For you to be a member, you got to be a political party, of course.
Uh-huh.
Even though we...
So individuals can't join?
Individuals...
That's so ironic, because you're an individual rights organization.
No, remember, but we are a political organization. However, we've made provision that people like Gareth Cliff, who's got a local standing, can come and join as an individual.
Okay, but ordinary people can't?
We are a political institution.
Okay, but are there other organizations people could join then that you are associated with? Because let's say I'm a guy, like you heard Ngobile, who called us earlier, right? He's tired of this collective rights stuff, and he believes in certain liberal principles, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth because he might disagree with these things.
Yeah.
But he wants to join up with a bunch of like-minded people to advance the cause of liberalism in Africa. Let's imagine.
Yeah.
What can he do?
Definitely. What he can do, he can contact me. He can contact us. We've got our secretariat office in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the coordinator who's doing the normal full-time job of coordinating.
Right.
And then we can do programs together.
And you guys have reading material and you have... you'd have events and talks. And
yeah. We've got the Pan-African Liberal Manifesto that we adopted in Abidjan in 2012 that talks about, issues of peace and security, issues of economy, issues of democracy, issues of human rights. And then we've got the Andorra Liberal Manifesto that we adopted last year in Andorra in 2017, which reacts to about liberalism in the 21st century and the effect of what the populists are doing and what can we offer as liberals under this competition. competitive climate where populism is on the rise. So what we do is we organize fringe seminars. We've got two partners that we are partnering with, is the Westminster Foundation from UK and as well as the FNF from Germany through the Friedrich Naumann Foundation. So we are collaborating and having programs. We just had an anti-corruption workshop that we had, and then now we're going to be having a regional digital journalism workshop that we're going to have now in Johannesburg. So that is what we always do. And then we're going to have the Congress, the LI Congress in Senegal now on the 27th to the 30th of November. Then in March next year in Morocco, we'll be having our own General Assembly. So we have a General Assembly once in 2 years, and then we've got the Executive Committee, which is myself and the five vice presidents from the five regions, together with our funding partners that we always do have. And then from there, we have fringe sessions that we always... So by the way, let me put this one also, Gareth. On the 28th of November, we will be having a fringe session in Dakar on describing African liberalism.
Oh, well, that'll be
nice one.
So we will see some published material from that.
Wait after that.
Okay.
I wish I would have you there because that would have been an interesting.
It's a
one.
Little bit. It's more than a day's journey. So, you know, I've only got a. Got a broken down old car.
That is the strange part of things. You know, I traveled to Morocco 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And to get to Morocco, you know, I had to go through Kenya, and from Kenya went to Dubai, and then Dubai come back. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the problem. And that is what we as liberals were saying. We got to have intra-Africa trade. And intra-Africa trade is about 12% comparatively with elsewhere.
So we got to pump that up.
We got to pump that one up, but it needs interlocking and interconnected infrastructure, which we don't have. It's still crazy that for you to go to Senegal, you would have to... We only have a one direct flight that goes to Senegal, to Washington, via Senegal. So you only get on it if you are going to Washington. It's crazy.
That is
crazy. Just a 5-hour flight. I mean, from here to Senegal, it's 5 hours. It should be quick. But, you know, you only get that flight when you go to Washington. So that connectivity of Africa is still a problem. And that is what we need to address.
All right. Well, the other, the short answer, I suppose, also for someone who wants to join a liberal network like yours is to join the parties that they represent. And perhaps even to start their own parties.
They can start their own. Look, you see, the beauty with liberalism, Gareth, is that it doesn't limit individual rights. Mm-hmm. So either you can be within a political party or you can be a individual. It's fine.
Sure.
We are able. It's just that you got to make sure that you have impact because of we work in an impact space.
Right.
You know, our impact is to make sure that we have more liberal governments in Africa to address our issues of underdevelopment, unemployment, poverty.
Stevens, I can't disagree with you. I know you're off to Cape Town now.
Sure.
And good luck with this very important conference where you will define African liberalism for us. And
definitely.
Then we'll have a chat again after that.
Can I also just ask you, Gareth, do me a favor. Call for your viewers or your listeners just to give you some snapshots of what they believe should African liberalism should be.
Oh, you want some feedback?
And then give me a feedback that I can carry and incorporate into that because of we want to describe it our way.
You're giving them homework. Maybe they want to do it, maybe they don't. But where do you want them to send these answers?
They can send it into my email. I'll give you my email.
You know what we'll do? We'll put it on.
On the podcast.
All right. We'll make sure it's there.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's do that because of I want it to be described in an African way.
Because
we always have got this thing that liberalism is a Western concept.
We end up talking about Rousseau and...
So let us once and for all kill the debate and say, what does it mean for us as Africans? And why is it growing in Africa?
Well, if you say it is, I'm happy. Because it sounds to me like something we can all get along with.
Great stuff. Let's do it.
And thank you,
thank
sir.
Thank you very much for having me here. I think we should be doing quite more often.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You know that. Taken so long.
No, definitely. I mean, it's just a question of scheduling. But what I will do is that after the Senegal Congress, what I will do is I would want to come for a follow-up and give you a briefing of what the discussions were about and what do we think about African liberalism. And perhaps maybe we can even get calls and have an engagement on
Well, I mean, in the meantime, people can give you their ideas and their definitions of
awesomeness.
Liberalism. All right, very good. So we will decide from an African point of view what liberalism is and what we want it to sound like and look like. And Stevens Mokgalapa is going to be representing us in Senegal on this matter. And if you want to find out more, you can go to africaliberalnetwork.org to find out more. Thank you so much. The president of the African Liberal Network. Very interesting.
Great stuff, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, have a good flight.
Yeah, and definitely, let's be in touch.
Good
See
man.
Ya.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Baba.
There we go. CliffCentral.com